Hello and welcome to Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah. I'm Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York.
And I'm Sarah Thompson. This podcast is all about you, about us, and about the world around us. Each edition, we talk about pretty much anything and everything relating to stories from our own lives.
It'll be real, authentic, and it will be what it is. So let's put that kettle on and get going with this week's show. I love what you said last week, and I didn't know about it because I was in the operation.
Oh,
the first little bit.
The forward that I did.
Yeah.
I was quite emotional doing that.
Yeah, it sounded really good.
Did it?
Yeah.
Am I better without you?
No.
No, I know I'm not. I'm joking. No,
really funny. Really funny. Sarah, no, I really liked it. I thought it was very emotive and very calm, actually. Mm. And I know that... you know, when anyone goes into a surgery, you know, it's just extraordinary to be in that position. But this one was a long 8 hours. But you didn't know that, though, did you?
Yeah. Well, you told
at
me
at the time.
Yeah, that morning when you were going in, you didn't realise how much it would be, did you? Or it just hit you that morning?
Well, people who are asking me, you know, this podcast situation today, and I'm. In a very comfortable chair, for those of you who are listening. And
she looks unbelievable, but I think you can see. But, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw you this morning.
Thank you. Well, it's Beatrice chose my green dress. And I, you know, I have to say that it's really just extraordinary to come to terms with a new you.
Mm.
And I think it's... it's extraordinary. I mean, you just cannot be complacent with yourself or life or just how lucky you are. I mean, to be able to have gone through an enormous surgery.
Yeah.
But to be sitting here talking to you. And I think that's why I wanted to do the podcast today.
Yeah.
Because we are sitting in very comfortable chairs.
Yeah.
For those listeners who think, or for anyone who's watching, you know, it's not as if, I haven't travelled far. It's right here on the doorstep at the Fairmont Hotel, and it's only 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of really important that my father was right. Mm. The show must go on.
Mm.
But be mindful of each word that you might say, or be gentle with yourself and people, and be very grateful.
Mm.
And I have really enjoyed since the last podcast. Is that you are the CEO of this podcast, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been working with Billy and the team. And so I don't need to worry because I trust you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're my friend.
Yeah.
So it's really important for someone like me not to be overthought. I can't overthink.
No.
Because I know you and I know and trust you.
Yeah.
I know you've got my best.
I've got your back.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I was worried, as you know, about you coming back and talking this week. But you being you, here you are. But yeah, I mean, we must talk about it a bit. So it was a long old surgery, wasn't it? 8 hours.
Well, I think the most important thing is that was when you were told that you had you went in for a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, I went in, told the story.
Yeah.
And then he didn't like what he saw. He saw a shadow. Then from there, I then went to the Royal Free NHS and had contrast put in my arm, and that's when the shadow looked like a bit of a splat shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the drive from the Royal Free to Edward VII, I sort of looked up mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then pathology came back a few days later, and then, of course, your mind's already gone racing in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then get a text saying, we think it's mastectomy. Mm-hmm. Then your mind plays more tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and meet the reconstructive surgeon and you suddenly think, okay, we can do this.
Mm.
He does the Dieppe flap, which is available on the NHS. And if anyone out there needs that, you must tell your doctor, tell your GP, you know, it is available. It's a long old process, but you know, it is available.
Do they always do it at the same time?
No, not always. No. A lot of, I think it's a very time consuming and probably there's a lot of people that need a mastectomy and then to do reconstruction straight away. I was just very lucky that that Stuart James was available with his entire team. And Stuart James really, you know, works with the most incredible team of people from the anesthesiologist, Sham, to the extraordinary Steve Allen, who had to take a look at where the veins were going to go from the stomach to the left breast. And, you know, he had to confirm what Stuart was going to do. And then Sham had to make sure the anaesthetic was right to keep me asleep for 8 hours so that it bought Stuart enough time to do the work and the reconstruction after Christina Choi had actually done the mastectomy. So it's all in all an extraordinary group of people that had got together to help me so much. And then when I walked in on the day, I walked straight into critical care. And that made me a little bit wobbly.
Yeah, that's right. And that's when we were texting.
Yeah. And at 8:30, at 6:30 in the morning, that's when I went, why am I here? You know, you're better off arriving there after you've been asleep for 8 hours than starting there and knowing you're coming back there.
Yeah.
But you know, you just sort of get on.
And it felt like such a long day. I mean, when you sent me your, I mean, you looked amazing when you sent me your picture in the evening and you'd come out. I mean, no one's looked that good coming out of surgery, but you looked amazing. But relief that was, you know, just to come out.
That lovely morphine smile I had.
Yeah, you had a lovely morphine smile.
Yeah, I was chatting away. I was chatting away. And everybody, and I kept saying, taking my oxygen mask off, saying, sorry, it's the morphine. You know, I got away with talking an absolute load of rubbish.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and then from there, then the most amazing nursing. I mean, there was so many wonderful nurses. I think I've written to every single one of them. They're just round-the-clock nursing care.
Incredible.
And then just making sure that nothing was infected, which is so important.
That's the big risk, is it, after,
And big sort of, you know, it's big.
And that your body, of course it is, and that your body doesn't reject, you know, what's being done.
I didn't even think about
that.
You
didn't really know.
No, because I think it's rather like you, Sarah, doing this podcast, when you're in the best hands, you don't think about it. I don't, because I know that you've got my back. It's very similar to, I knew Christina Choi's the best, I knew that Edward the Seventh's the best, I knew that Stuart James, bar none, extraordinary. And his method, he practices at the Royal Marsden, he practices on the NHS. You know, it's not just a plastic surgeon. It's an extraordinary ability to see the body in a very extraordinary way. I call him an archaeologist, really. He's like an architect of archaeology with the way he looks at the tiny, tiny, tiniest of veins and how he moves them in order to form the perfect body part. That sounds like a car. Body part.
Rebuilt.
And one more person who really was exceptional was the nurse counsellor, head of nursing at Edward VII, Amelia Cook, because she was just so comforting and she was able to translate everything that seemed so frightening. So I cannot take my hat off more to all the nursing, but especially, of course, Amelia Cook, who was just literally... was so brilliant and so kind and just so embraced the fears.
I saw my friend the other day, perhaps you shouldn't say her name, but she's adorable, and she had, very similar to you, but 8 years ago, although she had to go through a lot of chemo as well. And literally, she'd finished her last lot of chemo, I dragged her out to Spain, and she's normally brown and gorgeous, but she had to sit under, because you can't go anywhere near the sun, so she had to sit under the umbrella the whole time. And she said, it's the only time I've been here and I've got whiter and whiter. But she'd lost all her hair, but she brought Wiggy with her. So every night before we went out, I sort of had it outside and I was styling her hair and I had my tongs and blah. So then she'd finally put it on. She said, I quite like this way of doing hair. You know, she went out with this crazy hair every night. But yeah, we were talking about it, obviously, because of you. And, you know, and she's eight years now, clear. I mean, she had to have a lot of, a lot of all her lymph nodes out as well. But it is, and she had a reconstruction afterwards, so it is different. But it's quite incredible, isn't it, that, you know, you go through all of that and you know, she's amazing now. So
I think it's always encouraging. And I think that's why I'm doing the podcast today, is we must make people realise it's not okay, but if you're going to get it, then catch it quick.
Yeah.
Do the screening, catch it quick, and go and say, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that your friend, and like today, you know, I walked in here for the podcast and everybody said, oh my goodness, you know, we didn't expect you to.
Yeah.
So I think it's not bravery. Mm. It's not courage. It's about understanding that you're not going to feel as you did for a bit. So don't try and be a superhero.
Yeah.
Take mini steps, have the cup of tea, trust people. Very important not to be complacent with every single thing now. And just sort of, I really understand why my poor body says to my brain, what is going on here? So I was thinking before talking to you today, Sarah, about the mind and the body connection.
Mm.
So you can go into intensive care and you think your blood pressure is fine, but really it's absolutely rocketing because you are actually frightened, but your mind is saying you're fine.
Mm.
So I've noticed overnight my body goes into a bit of a strange place. And the mind's gone to sleep, but the mind that wakes up the mind, and the mind goes, "Oh my goodness, she's having a heart attack," or "I'm having a heart attack," or this or that. Now, of course, the body's
Isn't
just
it funny the to body's think of them as almost two panic. Separate yes. things.
So my job from this podcast and from going forward is very firmly to be totally 100% cognitive of a human bridge within your own body bridge between the mind and the body, and as soon as I label when my body's talking to me and not go into a mind problem, then I'm able to calm. So, example, last night, body panicked, mind said heart attack. I sat at the edge of the bed, sat bolt upright, did very deep breathing.
Mm.
Everything was fine.
Mm.
And off I went to sleep again.
Yeah.
So I'm now learning tools for living in a way right now, which is fascinating, which is why I wanted to do the podcast.
Yeah. And I've suffered panic attacks in the past, and I completely resonate with what you're saying, because, you know, and even now I have to teach myself to not, because my mind takes over and I go into a freak out. And the very first time I ever had one actually was on the train going up to London just after the 7/7 bombings. In fact, I'd missed Elliot's birthday party because I couldn't get home that day. And it was the next morning and I was going up, and I don't think I'd really said goodbye to the boys. And I started just feeling completely paralysed down one side. And when they were amazing on the train, and they said, there's no point stopping here because, you know, no one can get on. So we got to London Bridge, and then the paramedics came on and he sat down. I thought he was going to come on here and start my heart, but he didn't. He looked at me and he said, have you ever had a panic attack before? And I said, no. And he said, it won't be your last. And it's then that you really, you realise how powerful the mind is.
Wow.
Because it had totally, my whole body had gone into spasm. I couldn't even move it. I thought exactly the same as you, I was having a heart attack.
Shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, you if anyone else listening, not you, Sarah, because you know what I would have said to do, is before you, when you go on the train and you heard about the attacks, go straight back home and hug your children.
Mm.
And today, before coming to do the podcast, I was in the car coming and I said, actually, no, can you turn around? And I went back in to hug Beatrice because I really wanted to, just to be grateful.
Mm.
And she went, Mum, I thought you'd left. And I said, no, but I just, you just, you know, thank you.
Mm.
Aww. You know,
I mean, Sienna was asleep. It's hard for them as well. They've been through a lot. I mean,
there's
me talking about how awful it was with you in there, but you know, the girls, it must have been really scary for them.
I think it's scary for any family member out there that is suddenly you really start looking at your own demise, and not me personally, but
it stops you in your tracks, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's a wake up call, and then you think, right, okay, well. How am I going to deal with this?
Yeah.
A new way ahead, and, you know, right, okay. Mm. But it's actually extraordinarily lucky. It's just an extraordinary moment in time.
Mm. So you're not the sort of person who asks loads of questions at that point. You put your trust in the right people.
Because some people... today, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's like Sarah Thompson and Billy Barrow tribe, and you just get on.
Yeah.
You just anyway, that's so. On the last podcast, we worked out that as long as I'm using this platform for good, and I'm using it from my own real authenticity about what I really believe.
Yeah,
I just feel really strongly that yes, I do a huge shout out for screenings.
Yeah.
And by the way, anyone who's listening, don't worry, it's going to get jollier in a minute. So keep listening, keep subscribing, click that link. It's fine. I'm here. You know, if anyone else comes up to me and says, oh my goodness, you know, don't make it about me. Don't make it about me.
I think your message, you know, is clear, and I know that you'll continue to say it, but the whole kind of strong message of go and have your screening when you can. By the way, in the UK, it's 50, age 50, and then every 3 years. But in the US, it's age 40. So it's quite interesting to wonder at what age, because you do hear of a lot of people a lot younger than 50, you know, with breast cancer. So.
Maybe we should get it to, should be younger.
Yeah.
I think whatever it is.
But you need to go when you're offered it, for sure.
Oh, yes.
And be self-aware. I mean, that's the other really big, strong message,
isn't it? And also, you know, bowel cancer checks. And every time the NHS sends you that, don't be frightened.
Yeah.
It's so frightening because your mind goes into doom.
Well, the minute you're even going for a test, you think you've got it. You know, because that's just your mind telling you, taking you off down that road.
I could be one of those one in three.
I'm going to be the stat.
Mm. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But then, you know... I was thinking also, I was watching the World War One and all the brave men and all the extraordinary, extraordinary courage and resilience. Mm. And just think to myself, they came back, amputees, they came back and they got over it and they fought on.
Mm.
And so it makes you realise that you're very lucky.
Yeah, I think there's always do you think it's... you know, born with a positive mind makes you think, well, there's always people, you know, who have far more to worry about than I've had. So even like you're sitting here saying how lucky you are, you know, a lot of people would say, well, actually, that's not lucky. But it's however you look at it, isn't it? And saying, well, I am lucky. I caught it early. I've had, you know, I've had amazing treatment.
Didn't go into my lymph nodes.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And I don't have to have chemo or radiation or tamoxifen.
Yeah.
I just need to get now to understand my job is to get out there strong, healthy, and keep spreading the word.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, that's the other thing is stop letting fear run you.
Yeah.
Stop letting fear. And you've talked to me today about that, actually. Mm. Is you're nobody's puppet.
Mm.
And, okay, you want to say that, you say that. But, okay, you get it wrong, you get it wrong.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Own it.
Yeah.
Own it.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, take responsibility.
That I'm an extremely good friend, and I would to myself and to others. So I'm a good person. I like kindness.
Yeah.
I like goodness.
Yeah.
So if people want to say, oh, well, we don't want to hear from you. Well, all right. Well,
then
don't
turn off then. Yeah, exactly. Don't listen. When you were talking about all of the sort of tech that was used to detect... your shadow. I was looking because in First News there were a couple of articles this week that really kind of caught my attention. And actually, one of the things I love about First News is is the fact that it does open children's minds, you know, to all of this incredible opportunities. Because it's a lot of bad news in the world, and actually we cover a lot of good news, you know, and things. But there was this one which I thought you'd find really interesting, which is that there's a study led by Professor Ian Jones of Liverpool Moores University, who has put sensors in the handles of supermarket trolleys. And medics are able to diagnose people with heart problems, so atrial fibrillation. And they did a study. I think all they did was they started off over a period of 2 months. They put 10 trolleys in 4 supermarkets across Liverpool, and they detected 39 people with this heart condition that wouldn't have known about it. And what I loved about what he said is he said the study shows the potential of taking health checks to the masses without actually even disrupting daily routines. And things like that, it's just phenomenal. I mean, obviously the Apple Watch does a similar thing, but not everybody has an Apple Watch.
No, but that's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you can choose to take the trolley or not.
I imagine, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's another thing, isn't it? Do you actually want to find out?
Just extraordinary.
Oh, I mean, it really is. And I was just having a look. I mean, there was a couple of things that again I found, you know, using, because there's so much written about AI, and we write a lot about it, and, you know, is it good, is it bad, is it going to change the whole world, you know, is anyone even going to have a job anymore, are there even going to be humans anymore? I mean, you know, once you start talking about it, it's so overwhelming. But if you look at the good things that have come out about it, so Royal Marsden NHS Foundation are using an AI tool which actually detects abnormal growths on CT scans that at a different level than anyone's ever done before. So it can provide really early detection. And it's this sort of technology which is so, so brilliant.
So would that be for every kind of disease?
I understand it's across cancers, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So, because I know I saw Richard and Judy?
Yeah.
There's a big article at the weekend of him saying go and get lung cancer checks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that would be probably something
similar.
I think everybody needs to get checked. Early on diagnosis can give you that sense of well-being for your mind again, you see.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? If you actually know you haven't got it, you know, the number of people who have panic because they think, I don't know, they're getting actually, you know, like, I don't know, pain in the head, whatever, and it just keeps coming back. And it is your brain. The more you think about it, the more you've got it, you know, and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And actually, the minute you go and have that check or you have that CT scan and they tell you it's actually fine and it's, you know, you haven't got anything, miraculously, your headache goes.
Or your arm starts working again, in your case, in my case, London Bridge.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Yeah, so I mentioned earlier about having a panic attack on the train, and one of the things, and he was right, because it wasn't, you know, I didn't just have one, I had them for about 2 years after that. And I'm sure, much like everyone else who has them, you kind of read everything you can, and, you know, certain people, I don't know, tried all sorts to try and get over them. But I then found this book, and this guy that had written, and the thing that resonated with me, and it really worked for me, and I was a bit of a sad day because I literally printed this book out and used to take it everywhere with me. So if I started having one, I had to go to page whatever it was. But it's a really, really simple thing, is that ultimately you are letting your brain take over, exactly what you were saying earlier. Rather than sort of try and divert your attention or breathe, or, you know, which can help, and you were saying that helped you, but rather than do all these kind of diversion techniques, is actually to be really strong and confront it and say, come on then, do your worst, bring it on. And you're actually saying, you know, come on, bring it on, do it. Because actually the reality is it doesn't. And then you're still here. And it starts dissipating. And it was so powerful for me. And it's a scary thing to do. You have to sort of really teach yourself how to do it.
Who taught you that?
Well, it was a book called Dare by Barrick McDonough. And he was amazing. And he'd gone through these. But subsequently, you know, he's really successful now. He does loads of books and talks about it. And it's incredible. And I'm an evangelist about it because it totally changed my life. And so anyone I come across who's had panic attacks, I just want them to understand. And it's such, I mean, he's got lots of techniques that really help you. But it all stems from this. It all stems from Bring It On.
Well, okay. So for those of you who don't have panic attacks, but you need to feel strange about certain things, Sarah's calling it panic attacks, but I would call it sometimes label your own yearnings. Label it. So take out of your toolbox, because I have my toolbox, she has her toolbox, because we're all different, and how fabulous is that? but to take it out and label what it is alarming you. What is the real cause of concern? And, you know, it could be the mere fact that the lady downstairs was looking grumpy and you thought you'd done something wrong, i.e. we're people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it is that that's making you now, is thieving you of the nice, happy, harmonious moment, then if you label it, shine light on it, it then dissipates. So it's exactly the same thing as a panic attack. In my case, I look at it, discuss it with you, or discuss it, and then let it go and move on.
Yeah.
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 Because it can be the greatest thief of the day.
Yeah. And it can fester, can't it?
Yes.
Do you ever have that moment where you think you suddenly feel yourself feeling, I don't know, like sad, or, and you think, actually, why am I feeling sad? And you have to kind of go back in your brain and think, what's just happened that made me think it? And then you kind of trace back, and then you find the one thing, and you think, oh, that was it. Actually, it's not even that bad.
Yeah.
And so you kind of deal with it and then move forward.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's why that it's good to not be, you've got to be allowed to be able to talk without someone saying, stop banging on, or, oh, don't be so sensitive. Or you are stratospherically sensitive. No one wants to hear from you. Be quiet. So many of those things are in my head. And of course, when I talk, you're very intelligent. So when I was talking to you about something earlier on today, you went, yeah, no, that was the right reaction for that person's reaction towards you.
Yeah.
And that made me feel better because you did not judge me. You said, no, you're not, you didn't put me down. You just said, no, that was the right reaction for that action.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating because you treated me with great respect and intelligence that I did have a worry and you worked it through with
me.
And
I would have been honest with you, and I was honest, but and that wasn't the way you were viewing it.
Exactly. Yeah. I just was viewing it from the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore putting myself down.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Yeah. I didn't need that. Not today.
Especially not today.
No, especially not today. For goodness sake.
Give yourself a break.
Oh, yes. Hello. Be kind to yourself. That means, for those of you who don't know, don't keep making out you're wrong. I do that all the time since Sarah's, that's when she says be kind to yourself, because stop it, be quiet, you're fine.
I
know,
fine.
And I did go into the mirror and freak, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, we all do it.
We'll get there, won't we?
Human, hello.
Yeah, this is like our own little therapy session, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge.
This week.
It really is, yeah, I know.
So there's a lot of tech out there, which is awesome, and everything they're doing. But the thing to remember is talking, and just talk to your friends. You know, that there's nothing really better. And listen. Talk and listen.
Talk, listen, have a cup of tea.
Have a cup of tea. And don't judge.
Don't judge. Listen. Go over and say, how are you? Are you all right?
Yeah.
But just as long as it's not about me.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm prepared to talk about what I've been through because it's going to help others.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't, I wouldn't talk about it.
No, and it really has helped others, and that is why you wanted to share it, which
yes.
is...
And really I'll admirable. Go on doing this podcast, and I'll go on sharing and go on really, you know, shouting out about what, with authenticity, integrity and goodness, about for goodness sake. And because it's important for other people. As long as it is important, then we keep doing it.
So I think this week we've definitely, I know that you wanted to, is do a shout out to all the amazing messages of sort of love and support you've had, which, to be fair, even on your Insta, I think there's over 3,500 lovely comments. And it's interesting because a lot of those, I know that we were sort of looking at them together, but they talk about, you know, how strong and courageous they've always believed you are. And, you know, that's obviously, you know, you're a warrior and that, you know, that's really helping you. And that many of them talk about the fact that you're joining their club, albeit it's not a club you want to join. But then they talk about, you know, I'm 17 years a survivor or 20 years a survivor. And it's incredible how many of those there were. But we were going to just read out a couple. I don't know.
Well, before you read out a couple, the most beautiful, beautiful flowers have arrived. There's letters, there's cards, and it's just been an outpouring of kindness.
Mm.
And it's so much so that you can't, you know, the mind has made up so many games before this, thinking everyone believes what they read in the newspapers. And then with all this outpouring of love, it's like almost it's everybody's eulogies to me. Mm-hmm. I know, and I'm here. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing that the love that I'm getting from the entire nation. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just extraordinary. Mm. And it's not just the nation, but it's globally, and it's people have been beyond. So, yes, I can just blown away, really. Mm. And that is something that has also completely given me strength to go forward, because I won't let people down.
Mm.
Well, I won't let myself down.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm...
How does it make you feel, receiving all those?
Very moving. Very, very moving to receive a beautiful little note saying, you are the strongest, bravest person I know, and, you know, it's because of you that I'm still here. Or I have a lovely friend called Emma, and she was in the teenage cancer unit when I met her, and she's still with us, and she has a wiggy. And a shout out to Emma and Lorenzo. And Emma just went, oh, for goodness sake, you got me through this, I'm getting you through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that was back in 32 years ago when I met her.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I remember going, I was so moved by her story when she was in teenage cancer unit. I remember going to ask Nikki Clark, the very famous hairdresser, to make a wiggy for her, which was really beautiful. And she put it on, and I remember she was 17 and she was wolf whistled. And in those days, before anyone says, what?
You're not allowed to now.
No, but in those days, you know, everyone was whistling at her saying, what a beauty. So, yes, it is extraordinary. Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say a huge thank
absolutely.
You. Know, and also to the entire team of my entire team who look after me, from Lee, my hairdresser, to Jackie, to my entire team that... are all matrons that all had a bowl of cherries on their head saying, stop fussing, but never mind. Anyway, 3,000, yes, tell me the messages.
Oh, no, there were just a few. I loved this one. In actual fact, there was so much of this, but from Linda McRae, who said, you're wonderful for raising awareness, Duchess. You're having more impact by just announcing your story. Pray you're not in pain. Wishing the best recovery. Health is so precious. You're great. And it is just kind of... It says what so many people were saying, is that by talking about this and, you know, and by coming out, because as we said last week, you didn't even know until before that podcast that you even were going to. But I'm sure, well, I'm grateful you have, and so many people are so grateful that you have, because it's created so much awareness.
Well, I think it was a huge deal of discussions before we went out on the podcast. As long as it would help others, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
And that is my mantra, and that is what I'm here for. As soon as it becomes egotistical, then no, I'm out.
No, it's interesting because you say that, but look how helpful and how amazing it's been to have all that outpouring of love for you. So why are you not entitled to that?
Oh, for heaven's sake, move on. Next subject. No discussion.
I'm not
That's
moving
far
on.
Too deep. And let's get on. I want to thank Linda very much for her beautiful message.
All right. Do you want to thank Mrs. Darcy as well? She said, you are the reason why I had a spontaneous check at Discovering Hands today. And by the way, Discovering Hands sounds incredible. It's blind nurses doing tactile checkups of the breasts. And she said, everything is fine. Thank you for being so open with your diagnosis, because I now know I'm fine. Wishing you all the best in a speedy recovery.
Love that. Discover Hands.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, because I've just done a book in Braille, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, absolutely, because I thought the blind children coming over from the Ukraine in Poland, they need to be able to have a lovely book to take their mind off what they're going through. So we made Little Red and children's books into Braille.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's so important always to put yourself in the shoes of somebody else in order to try and see how we could help.
Mm.
We ought to help more discover hands. That's interesting, Sarah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We should look at that.
Maybe we do Braille books in our bookshare.
Oh, well, we definitely should.
Of course. You're going to have Little Red for that?
Yeah.
Okay, done.
Absolutely. And then from Insta, PPJ said, which is really interesting. You're going to love this one. But sorry to hear about your diagnosis and surgery. Rest well and recover. Stay strong and positive, as we need you to be the sisterhood's champion with bra manufacturers to have suitable bras for mastectomy women. We're relying on your voice to help.
Oh, hello. What's her name?
And we were talking... PPJ.
PPJ. Well done, PPJ.
Because we were talking about this and you were talking about how much you need to design one.
Sarah, I'm definitely going to get you on this case of whether we get Sarah Blakely, who invented Spanx, to invent a mastectomy bra, which is really pretty and lacy and fabulous. But I think it would be, right at this moment, I would love to have a really super-duper mastectomy bra that actually looks fab because it makes you feel feminine and great. But, you know, at this moment... and need something at night, especially where it just pushes you up and pushes you into a certain way, which takes the pressure off.
Mm. And it takes the pain away.
Yeah, it allows you to
feel better.
Yes.
Yeah, at the moment,
Teddy's doing it. Right. He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
I'm sure August and Sienna aren't too happy I've stolen the Teddy. But it's actually very... Mm. It's actually really
comforting. Oh, I thought you meant Teddy as in a teddy you wear.
Oh, you were
teddy bear.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. I mean a real teddy bear.
You meant a teddy. I was thinking, oh, that's quite nice.
No, oh, that's really funny. Yeah. That's sweet. No, it's August, age 3, wouldn't be wearing a teddy. But no. And so
no,
this is...
That's when it dawned.
Yes. Yeah. But it's really soft, cuddly one. And I just go to sleep with it. And on if I'm on that...
It takes the pressure.
Pushes it up a bit. Mm. So I think there must be a way we can do that.
Mm. What an amazing thing that would be to actually create some that look lovely and that actually, you know, take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pressure point ones.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Well, we need to call out to, I don't know, M&S or somebody. You can come and do a collab with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe PPJ understands what it's like that she puts a cuddly toy to help her mastectomy breast.
Yeah.
You know, she needs a nice bra. We know, maybe PPJ can help us.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll reach out. And of course, there's thousands more messages, but we can't read all of them out.
Well, you talk about wanting me to know more about not, you know, what's that thing about, you know, well, surely all this outpouring of love.
Yeah.
Doesn't, well, we'll read on, Sarah. Okay, read on. No, joking. No.
Yeah. I think you've had enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Just,
yeah,
you've had enough love. You've had enough love.
That's right. All right, move on.
So that's it for another episode of Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah.
I think it's very interesting that the podcast is actually helping me. So if it's helping me, then hopefully it'll help many others. It's certainly helped me realise that I've got an amazing team that are helping me through this.
Mm. And your road to recovery.
On my mini steps to recovery, yes, mini steps.
We love your dilemmas and your questions, so just please keep them coming on our Instagram. My Instagram is SarahJaneThompson_.
My Instagram is SarahFerguson15. Every time I say that, you're going to go and hear the other 14.
You can email any other thoughts or suggestions about the show direct to teatalks@viral-tribe.com.
Of course, tell everyone you know to have a listen. And I really mean it. I love acting on advice. So if there's any way we can make it better, tell us. Do not be shy. It is your podcast, not just ours.
We'll be back soon with another wonderful episode, hopefully for you to enjoy.
See you on the next episode.